Hi, good morning and welcome to the Delta Stewardship Council meeting. It is 9:37 on Thursday, August 22nd, 2024, and we are here at the California Natural Resources Building located at 715 P Street in Sacramento, California. My name is Julie Lee and I'm chair of the Delta Stewardship Council. Emma's going to explain now how the public can participate in this meeting. Emma?
If any member of the public is interested in providing public comment on any agenda item during today's meeting, please send an email blue card to engage@deltacouncil.ca.gov as seen on the screen. Be sure to note your name and the agenda item that you wish to speak on. When called, the clerk will unmute you.
Thanks, Emma. In accordance with our Bagley-Keene requirements, we're now going to conduct a roll call of our in-person council members to establish a quorum. Emma, can you lead us in the roll call?
Councilmember Hueso.
Here.
Councilmember Maranian.
Here.
Vice Chair Miller.
Here.
Chair Lee.
Here. And for our remote council members, please disclose if there are other individuals over the age of 18 with you and a brief description of their relationship to you. And in addition, please remain on camera for the duration of the meeting if possible. Emma, can you lead us in a roll call of the remote council members?
Councilmember Zingali.
Here. Good morning from Eureka. There are no other adults.
Thanks, Dan. Nice to see you. I just want to make a note that we have a couple of absences today. So we have four council members in person, and I just ask the council members if you could stay in the room for the duration of the meeting. If you need to get up and walk around, that's fine. But if somebody leaves the room, we actually have to take a short break and stop the meeting because we'll lose our in-person quorum. So hopefully everybody's amenable to that. All right, our next item is public comment. It's an item for the public to comment on any topic that is not on the council's agenda today. Any comments on items on the agenda will need to be taken during that item. Emma, do we have any public comments for items not on today's agenda?
No, Madam Chair, we do not.
All right, thank you. Our next agenda item is consideration and possible adoption of regulations related to the Delta Ecosystem Restoration Management. This is California Code of Regulations, Title 23, Section 5001, and it's Resolution 2024-06. And I'll welcome our panel members, Jeff Henderson, Deputy Executive Officer for Planning and Performance, and Ava Bush, Environmental Program Manager.
All right. Thank you, Chair Lee and council members. It's a pleasure to be here to mark what we see as sort of the final step in updating the Delta Plan's ecosystem strategy, something that we have been working toward for approximately 6 years. Next slide, please. I've got the clicker. Our agenda for today is that we'll provide a little bit of background on the ecosystem rulemaking itself. We'll talk about what the proposed regulatory amendments actually do. We'll discuss the rulemaking process and the response to comments that we have undertaken, and then present a staff recommendation. We're here today to consider the adoption of proposed regulatory amendments concerning the ecosystem chapter of the Delta Plan. And that includes a number of sections of Title 23 of the California Code of Regulations. Our recommendation today is going to be that the council adopt the proposed regulatory amendments and authorize staff to finalize and submit rulemaking documents to both DOF and the Office of Administrative Law. A little bit of background as to how we got here. Originally, there was a key project known as the Bay Delta Conservation Plan, and that proposal included both a conveyance element and an ecosystem restoration component. The Bay Delta Conservation Plan was expected to be incorporated into the Delta Plan as part of the Delta Reform Act adoption. In 2015, the BDCP was partially replaced by the EcoRestore Initiative. In essence, there was a split, and the conveyance portion became what was known at the time as WaterFix, and the conservation component became what is known as the EcoRestore Initiative. And at that time, the council determined an amendment to the plan was necessary in order to capture a vision for ecosystem restoration that aligned with the Delta Reform Act. So we began the Ecosystem Delta Plan Amendment. It was based on three publicly reviewed scientific synthesis papers, and it includes a number of updated core strategies, policies, recommendations, and performance measures. Those are the key active parts of the Delta Plan, and was adopted by the council in June of 2022. There was a wide variety of public engagement that was associated with the Delta Plan amendment, including public counsel and ISB meetings, an interagency committee with state and federal invitees, and more than 20 meetings with NGOs, counties, agricultural groups, water suppliers, and a variety of state, federal, and local agencies. The council adopted the ecosystem amendment in June 2022 at their June council meeting. The proposed regulations that we're presenting to you today are based on the policies approved in the ecosystem amendment in June 2022. In essence, we're implementing language of policies that were set by the council previously in 2022. So for this current rulemaking process, a few key dates: March 29th, 2024, we initiated the rulemaking process by releasing a variety of documents, including a notice of proposed action, proposed regulatory text, an initial statement of reasons, and economic analysis. This opened a 45-day public comment period. On May 14th, we held a duly noticed public hearing here at the Natural Resources Building to receive public comments on the proposed regulatory package. An extension of the public comment period to May 17th was requested by an interested party and then granted by the council. And it's important to highlight this period because this public comment period is the appropriate time to provide feedback, and we did receive feedback that I'll share with you momentarily. So the regulatory changes that are proposed primarily affect covered actions, and within that, primarily ecosystem restoration and multi-benefit levy projects. The proposed changes would add a required disclosure of ecosystem restoration and social benefits, a new requirement, would modify existing requirements to accommodate future marsh migration, sea level rise, and tidal inundation in the context of covered actions, would require projects at subtidal elevations to safeguard against levee failure, would refine locations of levee projects that are required to consider alternative approaches that would improve floodplain values by considering a broader range of alternatives than just setback levees, would add a legacy clause for covered actions that have already started the CEQA process, and then would add new defined terms and appendices with maps and details supporting the proposed regs. So we did receive three comment letters and comments from eight attendees at the public hearing that we held in May. The comments fell into a variety of categories, including coordination with interested parties, requests for exemption or variance, requests for additional guidance from the council, some claims of ambiguous policy language, economic and fiscal impacts associated with the regs, and the feasibility of setback levies. Responses to comments received are provided in the final statement of reasons that's a part of your record today, and no changes are proposed to the proposed regulations in response to the comments. Most of the comments that we received were similar to those that we received in 2022 concerning the policy approach selected by the council at that time. So our staff recommendation is that the council approve Resolution 2024-06 to adopt proposed regulatory amendments to California Code of Regulations Title 23, Sections 5001 to 5015 inclusive, and to add Sections 5005.1 and Appendices 3A, 4A, and 8A. And if approved, we'll begin the process of finalizing the rulemaking process by submitting the document to the Department of Finance for review, followed by submission to the Office of Administrative Law. And at that point, once those are completed, we'll place the language in the Delta Plan and commence implementing these regulations. And we'll update the council as these steps are undertaken. That concludes our staff presentation. Happy to respond to questions. I've also, Eva Bush and Dan Constable are also here to assist with questions.
Thank you. I'm just going to do a short recap here. So this proposed rulemaking would amend the California Code of Regulations, Title 23, Sections 5001 through 5015, and add Section 5005.1, as Jeff said. And this is to implement the Delta Ecosystem Restoration Management Chapter of the Delta Plan. The notice of proposed rulemaking was published on March 29, 2024, and the council held a public comment period from March 29, 2024 through May 17, 2024, and held a public hearing on May 14, 2024. The public comment period for the rulemaking is now closed. The text of the proposed regulations is included as Exhibit A to Resolution 2024-06. The summary of comments and responses to comments are contained in the final statement of reasons, which is included as Attachment A to the staff report. And I failed to mention earlier that this agenda item is being recorded by a certified court reporter. So we're going to start off with council questions for staff, and then we can hear public comments per the Begley-Keene Act to be followed by our council deliberation. So I'm next going to turn to members of the council and see if any council members have any questions for staff at this time. And see, I see Dan does. Go ahead, council members and Gali.
Thank you, Madam Chair. First, just to be clear, I read the responses in Attachment A and they all make sense to me. I share the reasoning of staff. But just kind of overarching question. This has been a six-year process, and at least in response to this comment period, we're saying we made no changes in response to public input or stakeholder input, as well as it looks like. Is that, that could give the impression that after 6 years of process, we didn't change anything in response to listening to anyone, but I feel like that's probably not the case. Can you enlighten me a little bit on that, Jeff?
I can assure you that's not the case. The one of the earlier slides summarized a lot of the engagement that we participated in relative to this rulemaking. A lot of that engagement took place during the formulation of the policies that lead to these regulations. And so we did have, as mentioned, a series of meetings with state, federal, and local agencies, NGOs, and practitioners, as well as input from reclamation districts and other Delta stakeholders as well.
Thank you very much. I felt that was the case. Just, you know, yellow flag, I think just the general language of this, after careful consideration of comments received, staff is not proposing any additional changes. I understand that's in the context of this recent comment period, but it could give the wrong impression just because of its kind of generic language.
Thank you for that, council members and Gali. Any other members have any questions on this item? No. All right. Seeing none, prior to considering this action item, we're going to receive public comments. If you wish to provide a public comment in person, we ask that you fill out a blue speaker card and give it to Emma, who's seated at the staff table. And if you are participating remotely and wish to provide comments, please send an email to engage@deltacouncil.ca.gov, or you can raise your hand in Zoom. We will listen to the public comments in the order that we receive the completed blue speaker cards. After we hear from everyone who has filled out a speaker card, we're going to hear from anyone else who wishes to provide a comment remotely and from any latecomers or anyone else who wishes to be heard. We ask in the interest of time that you limit your public comments to 3 minutes per person. And we respectfully request that if you agree with comments made by a prior speaker, simply state that fact and add any new information that you feel is pertinent to the issue. And then finally, when you come up to speak, we ask that you please come to the microphone when you are called It would be helpful, although not required, to begin by stating your name and identifying the organization you represent, if any. So we'll now begin to receive public comments. Emma, would you please call on our first speaker?
Madam Chair, we do not have any public comment.
No public comments. All right. And is there anyone online that wishes to make a public comment?
One moment. We have a hand raised now. Osha Meserve, you should be able to speak now.
Good morning. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Sorry. I was attending this stop by there in person, but I really didn't know if anyone was there to make a public comment. I'm speaking today for local agencies of the North Delta, and I've been involved in this policy going back to the original version. I'd like to thank staff for working with me and other agencies to come up with a good neighbor checklist that is included in this chapter and is suggestion, at least, to try to get early engagement and some early problem solving of things that come up with restoration projects. So I appreciate that. That did happen with it. I do have an ongoing concern about the approach of this chapter in that, and you can kind of see it if, I don't know if you all looked at the idolized figure of, greater connectivity of riverine systems to the islands in the Delta context is really tough. Because you don't have higher elevations and your tidal. So I think there is still some work to be done. Maybe it can happen in future updates to kind of get more realistic about what's possible in terms of restoration in the Delta. I think that, I have been more involved in the first iteration of this chapter than I was in the second one, but I don't think those concerns have ever been addressed. Having connectivity is not something we can really do on the Delta Islands, and especially with identifying the main channel of the Sacramento River, for instance, as being a target area to increase connectivity, that's really antithetical to flood control. And so I think there's some unrealistic parts of this. And I think over time, we've also heard from many of the Delta engineers about how having to do an analysis every time there's certain kinds of levee improvements to show why it's not possible to create that kind of connectivity increases the costs of levee projects and may impair the ability to do flood control. That is obviously a priority here. So last concern was just this chapter continues to rely on the 2018 Ocean Protection Council sea level rise projections, which had a high projection of potentially 10.2 feet by 2100. That was retracted by the Ocean Protection Council in 2024, and it's now, I believe, 3.1 feet, and obviously we need the plan for sea level rise, and it's important. I guess it's just, it's probably not best available science, the way that this chapter is referring to that now superseded Ocean Protection Council document. So just some notes for thought for further updates to this chapter and regulations in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Meserve. Is there anyone else who wishes to make a public comment on this item?
Madam Chair, there is not.
All right. So hearing no further public comment requests, I'm going to now close the comment period on this agenda item and turn to the members of the council. Would any of the council members like to speak on the proposed regulations? No. Okay. So hearing no further comments from the council members, in consideration of the comments received on this agenda item and our discussions today, we have before us a resolution that would adopt the regulations related to the Delta Ecosystem Restoration Management with proposed amendments to the California Code of Regulations, Title 23, Sections 5001 through 5015, and new Section 5005.1, Appendix 3A, Appendix 4A, Appendix 8A, and would direct staff to finalize and make non-substantive changes to the proposed rulemaking file and related documents as necessary to complete the rulemaking process. So I'm going to ask the council members, do we have a motion to adopt Resolution 2024-06 for the adoption of regulations related to the Delta Ecosystem Restoration Management?
Yes, move approval. I believe that we have worked on this for a long time and asked a lot of questions, have had a lot of discussions, and I think it's at a point, for me at least, that I'm ready to make a motion.
Yeah, thank you.
To approve.
All right. I'll second.
All right. Thank you for that. Now we're going to take a roll call vote. Emma, can you lead us in a roll call vote?
Councilmember Weso.
Aye.
Councilmember Weso has voted aye. Councilmember Maranian.
Aye.
Councilmember Maranian has voted aye. Vice Chair Miller.
Aye.
Vice Chair Miller has voted aye. Councilmember Zingali.
Aye.
Councilmember Zingali has voted aye. Chair Lee.
Aye.
Chair Lee has voted aye.
All right, thank you. So the resolution passes, and thank everyone for their work on this, especially staff. I know it's been a long 6 years of intense conversations and work on this, and we look forward to finishing the OAL process and getting this on the books. So thank you very much for all that.
Madam Chair, if I may, yes. I just wanted to, you know, commend the staff for doing all this great work for such a long time, knowing it's such an important element of all the work that we're doing and such an important part of everything that we're here for. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Our next agenda item is our consent calendar. We have two items, the adoption of the July 25th, 2024 meeting summary and the consideration and possible approval of a new federal agreement with the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. Members, do you feel that there's any need for any discussion on any of the items on the consent calendar?
I would move approval.
Second.
All right.
I would recuse myself. I was not in the meeting, right? I can't vote on this.
Let's ask Jorge.
Absent. I can't vote on it. I was not here.
Okay.
Correct?
You weren't here for...
The last meeting.
For the last meeting, yeah. So you don't have to vote.
Yes.
We still have a quorum.
Okay. All right. So we're just clarifying. Member Maranian is going to recuse herself on the vote because she was not here at the last meeting. So before we do take that vote, I'm going to ask if there's any public comments on items on the consent calendar.
No, Madam Chair, there are not.
All right. If not, sorry, I'm going to go ahead and just say it for the record. I'll entertain a motion to approve these items. And I think Member Hueso, had you made a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Approval.
All right.
And I second.
Gail seconds. So we'll now proceed with a roll call vote.
Councilmember Hueso.
Aye.
Vice Chair Miller.
Aye.
Councilmember Zingali.
Aye.
Chair Lee.
Aye. All right, thank you. So those items passed, and we're going to move on to the chair's report. I just have a couple of quick updates on some work that we were doing in August. I attended the ISB meeting last week where we were informing them of some of the upcoming work that the council's doing. It was a very, very interesting Independent Science Board meeting. I should spell out what ISB means, and not everyone knows those acronyms. And Brandon Chapin, our legislative director, and I met with the Sacramento supervisor, Pat Hume, and talked about some of the issues that he sees for the areas that he represents in the Delta, and we were able to share some information about how the council processes work. So it was a very productive meeting. The other thing I wanted to mention is that September is National Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, so just everybody take care of your mental health. Take care of those that you love. It's an important issue. So just wanted to give our PSA announcement for that. I know it's affected several of us personally. Next, I'm going to turn it over to Jessica Pearson for the Executive Officer's Report. Oh, sorry. And is there any public comment on the chair's report?
No, Madam Chair, there is not.
All right. Now I'm going to turn it over to Jessica.
Thank you. Good morning, and thanks for that important reminder. I am pleased to announce the forthcoming release of our tribal and environmental justice issue paper public review draft, which we expect the first week of September, followed by a special focus on the topic at our September 26th meeting, which will be held at the Stockton Hilton. So please save the date for those listening. We do not have any current active covered action certifications. We do have a comment letter in your packet. On August 15th, the council staff submitted a comment letter to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and this is about their best practices for vegetation management on levees, which is an issue that's been of interest to the council since we began. You may remember past updates on this, including a recent briefing that we offered to state legislative staff on the topic. So the letter recommends that the Army Corps adopt their best practices for vegetation management on levees, which would allow more flexibility for vegetation to occur on Delta levees, among other national levees, and encourages further consideration of how they implement the policy and as well as how that intersects with habitat recovery. So council staff offered our availability to meet with Army Corps staff and discuss our comments. We do have our outreach highlights report and our active projects list in your packet. I'd like to draw your attention to our top Instagram post, which was posted as part of Disability Pride Month. It highlighted our McCarthy Fellow, Ruby, who you heard from last month. Her fellowship partially focused on accessibility related to our work. And the post highlighted four accessible attractions in the Bay Delta and included a quote from Ruby. A lot of interest there and engagement. We do not have a legal update today, and we don't have an oral legislative update, but there is a bill update in your packets. There's no urgency on any of these bills related to our work, but it is the last 2 weeks of the legislative session, so you can expect an update in September. And then next, for the rest of the meeting, we're going to hear from Delta Lead Scientist Lisa Marie Wyndham Myers as she gives us some program updates for the Delta Science Program and a review of our By the Numbers report. And so that's all I have for today, unless there are any questions.
I don't have any. Nope.
Thank you.
Are there any public comments on this item? I remembered.
No, Madam Chair, there are not.
All right, thank you. All right, I'm going to turn it over now to Lisa Marie Wyndham Myers, our Delta Lead Scientist, to give us an update.
Great, thank you so much, Chair Lee. And I only have a few things to update on of different projects that we've been working on and things you've already heard about. So the first one is the feedback that we've gotten on the Grand Challenges essay that was produced through multiple years and multiple conversations to devise a plan to update the Delta Science Plan. So the Delta Science Plan has to be updated every 5 years. It's part of the Delta Reform Act. And this time we've taken the approach of looking at this term grand challenges, which basically is a term that implies problems that are large enough to be compelling, problems that are feasible to be addressed and have the potential for making major breakthroughs in science and or governance. So there's four topics that emerged as being particularly important. They primarily dealt with things like change, environmental changes, for example, that are challenging, and also flows of knowledge, flows of information. So if you're interested in looking at the challenges, it's on the website. You can see the draft challenges. We're working right now on incorporating feedback. We've gotten 10 responses that provided not just positive comments, but also suggestions of tools and approaches to help achieve addressing those challenges in the Delta Science Plan. So it was presented by Tricia Lee to the Delta Independent Science Board at the last meeting just last week. And so if you're interested, you can see more discussion there as well. But again, the link is here, and we expect to keep you posted on this as we build this information into the growing a release of a Delta Science Plan in a draft form in the fall of 2025. So about a year from now. Okay, so the second thing on the agenda here is just to highlight a directed action that we funded that is actionable science on early detection and rapid response to invasive species. And the project is now completed. The presentation from Dr. Christine Whitcraft was given to the California Invasive Species Advisory Committee on July 17th and was well received. There were some really useful recommendations that came from interviews she had done, field and lab work as well, on ribbonweed, which is a new species, Vaccinaria australis. It's actually common on the East Coast, but not here. And so the issue is, you know, species come in and we don't have a real chain of command of authority for detection, reporting, monitoring, and so on. So she was really looking at sort of the governance of that. How do we get a better system? She also suggested better use of technology, things like drones and environmental DNA, which is you take a sample of the water and it tells you kind of what critters are in the water, that type of thing. She also suggested better coordination across terrestrial and aquatic landscapes. So there's a lot of meat in there in that report. You can follow it on the Delta Science Tracker, again, something that we produce that helps us keep our fingers on the pulse of the science going on in the Delta. So just want to plug that talk. Another talk that is actually so well done, I have to promote it. I'm so happy to be able to do this, is the you've heard already about our peer review unit doing a very large, in-depth review of the long-term operations of the Bureau of Reclamation's Central Valley Plan and the State Water Project. I should say the Central Valley Project. And the results of that effects analysis, fish and aquatic effects analysis, was so in detail it was requested by the National Academies of Science to be presented to them. That was in late July. And Dr. Kenny Rose, who's actually now on the Delta Independent Science Board, gave that talk. It's the recording link is in your notes, and it's just succinct and, you know, takes thousands and thousands of pages and, 38 models and makes this really strong recommendations of how things can be improved moving forward. So I recommend that. And that's the last of projects to report on. On your radar are two conferences. One is the first one coming up is September 23rd to 25th. It's the California Water and Environmental Modeling Forum. This is a nonprofit, nonpartisan group that their mission is to increase the usefulness of models for water and environmental management. This is the 30th anniversary. We are going to support a session on the last day. We've organized it, and it's to start the discussion of building out a collaboratory across all of these agencies that work together in more ad hoc ways, but we'd like it to be a more formalized and long-term vision. So that is a highlight of the last day, the 25th, in case you're interested, in the afternoon. And the other conference, of course, to highlight is the Bay Delta Science Conference. The registration is open. It's online. Until tomorrow, you can get the early bird rate, so I'm making sure you know that that's available. But the registration does close on September 16th, and it's already going to be one of the largest conferences for our community of scientists here. The days, I was told to try to give you some highlights of which days you might want to go to. It's very hard for me to do that because all the days are so spectacular. But I will highlight that day one. I'm just going to go through some of my notes here. The plenaries, they're very strong plenary speakers, and there's also the Brown Nichols Science Award that day. And then in addition to some excellent talks that day, there's also the poster session. So that's a really good interactive day to be there. The second day, topically, might be interesting to you all because of topics you've brought up in the past, but so harmful algal blooms, the topic that day, the Healthy Rivers and Landscapes implementation, formerly called the Voluntary Agreements, has a special session that day. The Delta Residents Survey is going to be talked about that day. CSAMP, the Collaborative Science and Adaptive Management team that we meet with regularly, They have a special session that day, so that's a good one. There's also a town hall at lunch, which is basically a Jeopardy-style approach to informing everybody about the Delta Science Plan history and directions that we're going now. And then day three, the Independent Science Board has a special session on decision-making under deep uncertainty, which I know you're all interested in. There's also a large chunk of sessions on harmful algal blooms, and there's a particularly large session on traditional knowledge. We have strong tribal representation on that third day, so that's another reason to consider day three. So again, you know, door number one, two, or three. Hopefully, you can pick all. But that's my highlights for what is coming up, and I can move to by the numbers unless there's any questions. Okay, by the numbers. So I think by the feeling in your skin, you know we're going through a little bit of a cold snap right now. It's very unique. It's the first time in 20 years that snow has been forecasted in California in August. And the irony is the July was the hottest month on record for the globe and also here. And some of the, you know, by 2 degrees warmer than the past hottest month, which was August 2020. So if you remember August 2020, July was 2 degrees worse. And then you can see it in these numbers here. One thing that I want to highlight is that before I get into the numbers on this sheet is that we did really respond positively to the feedback we got from you last month on how you'd like to see by the numbers in the future. We think that you understand this framing well. We got our lines correct this time for sure, Julie, so double check in. But it is a useful framing for a, you know, snapshot in time.
I love it.
But we are going to automate this, so it'll be easier to adjust to whatever questions you have. We're also going to give you a report out on harmful algal blooms in the fall. We're trying for October. It might be November. It depends. And the other thing that came up was wildfire impacts. And there's a special issue of in the synthesis. There's a synthesis paper on that coming out in the State of the Bay Delta Science report that you know will probably come out in early spring. So we'll probably highlight that at a meeting, wildfire impacts on water quality. If we look at the by the numbers, this does not look a whole lot different than what you saw in July. The numbers, the reservoirs are still pretty close to the historical average, 27 years average here. The rainfall is a little lower, but then again, we're getting a storm tonight. The temperatures are holding strong with the historical record. So, you know, cold up near Clear Creek, near the Shasta Dam, and then 71 degrees at Collinsville, so we're at the confluence, and then the forebay where the exports happen. Some of the things notable from water flow is the Sacramento River is still up. It's still quite high. And that also, if you look down below, the combined exports are also quite high. They're higher than the average for this time, significantly, even higher than they were last month. And the one interesting thing is the San Joaquin River is so down. It was down last month, it was about 1,000, and now it's down 885. And, you know, there's of course, lots of uses. We talked about that last week, about diversions and so on. But I also want to highlight that in September, I'm going to be talking about evaporation and transpiration. Evaporation being water that comes off the surface of water, I'm sorry, you know, sublimated, and then transpiration is the water coming through plants like crops or forest or so on. And we're looking at a really thirsty atmosphere. In fact, July, when we talk about it being really hot, it also broke the records for evapotranspiration and transpiration. So that's going to be the topic of the paper that I'm going to highlight and how we're tracking that. So that is all I'm going to talk about here, unless there's any questions.
No, I just want to say thank you for your timely and pertinent updates to kind of what's going on in real life. I think that's helpful for us, especially tracking the harmful algal blooms and you know, things that are topical in regards to our hottest July ever and what those consequences are as we read them on the data. So I really appreciate that. Does anyone else have any comments for?
I just have one question. Yes. That the plant transpiration, is that what the word is? Transpiration.
Transpiration, yeah.
Is that slower and it's behind the evaporation, or is it the same level?
No, yeah, it's often higher than the evaporative loss from the surface of water.
So it happens because faster.
What's that?
It happens faster?
Well, it's a physical process. It's being pulled through plants, but plants can tap water resources that are underground that you might not think that there's a lot of water, but yeah. there is you know, just as much of a source of water, and they have a large surface area. So, you know, water looks like this, mm-hmm. and plants have like thousands of these leaves, right? So mm-hmm. there's per unit area, you can lose a lot more water through transpiration just because there's a surface area of leaves.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, it's not just about.
I'm trying to understand. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot about surface area, I guess I should
surface
say.
Area. Good, thank you.
The more you know.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Any other council members have any questions? No. All right. So we'll move on to public comments on this item.
There is no public comment, Madam Chair.
Awesome. All right. So we're going to move on to preparation for our next council meeting, which will take place on September 26th in Stockton. And please refer to the posted meeting notice for further information or updates. And with that, we will adjourn our meeting today. So thank you all very much for being here.